Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Welcome to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm so happy to be here. This is Vera, and of course, with Natalie. Hello.
Hello, hello. So excited to be here.
Yes, very excited because, as you know, we try to bring on special guests that really kind of guide our way through the craziness that is business, that is making money, dinero talks. And a lot of you know that I moved to Portland, Oregon, and I got so lucky to immediately meet some badass Latinas. Because the first thing I did was like, where are my Latinas at, right? Because like, it feels lonely here when you don't know anybody. The one thing that you always fall back to is like who you are and what your background is, and you start looking for that kind of friendship. So I did go to a workshop. I met Ashley, and then I met Viri through Ashley. So Viri Diana, so happy to have you here. Tell us about yourself, and also tell us quickly, why did you move to Portland?
Hola. Thank you so much for having me. And Vida, as you were speaking about trying to find the Latinas wherever you go, same mujer, like same, so important, right? To build community. So hi, everyone. My name is Viri Diana Ponce, and I'm a business coach. And I've been working with Latina businesses over the last decade to help them grow their businesses, specifically their food businesses. So it's been so beautiful to see and to help out Latina businesses, like launch their restaurants, their catering businesses, coffee shops, and most importantly, generate income for themselves and for their families. And I do this through a financial lens. So I do financial education, planning, and helping my clients secure funding so that they can turn their dreams into reality. And the reason why I moved to Portland is that it was so beautiful over here and it was a slower pace of life. And I felt at that moment that that's what I needed. And so we made the move and there wasn't much like going back and forth. I mentioned it and my partner agreed, which was wild because I'm usually the one throwing out crazy ideas and he's always like grounding me, but this time he went along with it.
I love it. It's supportive partners make the difference, right? And you're hitting the path when you're changing life-changing decisions like moving, funding for business. It's good to have, I would say, a good partner because it can either make you or break you. So
agreed.
A good one to hear.
See. Absolutely. And so one question that we love to ask, Viri, is do you remember yourself when you first received your like first big paycheck? And what did you do? How did you feel?
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, sometimes as Latinas, especially when we're younger, we'll get like whatever jobs just to like help out our parents, help out ourselves. Like my mom always told me, like, I'll always have your back. But if you want to go out drinking and buying clothes, like that's on you, right? So like, what was your first paycheck and how did you feel?
And wait, before you answer that, for those that are watching this on YouTube, Viri, I'm going to have you scoot over just a smidge. There you go. She's got a beautiful profile and her dangling earrings are pretty awesome. So if you're watching this, there you go. Perfect. We want to see the whole profile. And yes, what is the answer to that?
Perfecto. So I'm going to say it wasn't a huge paycheck, first of all. So the first time I got paid from doing consulting, it was actually 10 years ago, September 2014. So it's my 10th year anniversary. And I count it of when I actually made that paycheck. And it's funny because I still have that check. And it's not for much. It's like a couple $100s. But I just remember feeling so proud that I did this on my own, that I was getting paid for doing something that I loved, something that I went to school for, and that using my mind, y que yo lo había hecho. And so it was such a moment of just me being so proud of myself, and even more so than like getting a corporate job and, you know, or doing, you know, graduating college. It was just like, I did this. I created this based on like experience, passion, and expertise.
I love that answer. That's beautiful. What you're saying is the pride that you have in something you've created. And there's probably a lot of people listening to this thinking like, should I start a business? Should I continue? What's the motivation? I guess a follow-up question. Did you have a book or something that just inspired you to take that leap of faith on your own?
So not necessarily a book. I think that leap of faith was something that had been like building inside of me for years. It had, I had worked or started working in a corporate job and I was so unhappy. And I remember asking myself, I was like, Vidi, ¿qué quieres? And I knew the answer and it was to help people like my family. And that was really like my driver and my motivator. And so it wasn't necessarily a book. It was just that it was something that was like brewing inside of me. And what actually forced me to do it was that I was working at a nonprofit organization, working with women and Latina women, and the organization went bankrupt. And so I was like, okay, this is the moment. O lo haces, o lo haces. So I felt like I didn't have any other option because I didn't want to go back to corporate. I didn't want to go to the nonprofit world. So this was the time to do it. So that was really like the push or the force that I needed.
Yeah, I love that life. They always say life has your back. Like if you're listening, life's got your back. It like bankrupted that company, unfortunately, but fortunately for you, right? So to get you to do what you want to do in your heart. Why food? Mm-hmm. Why ladies that deal with restaurants? And I mean, I know why food, right? We love to eat, but why did you go that path?
So I'm going to say it wasn't planned. So when I was first starting to think about this, you know, this business and really think about, okay, I want to help people like my family. We're immigrants, you know, we're Spanish speakers. And I went into like planning mode, right? And I'm like, okay, what are my strengths? What do I want to do? So I started there and I knew I wanted to work with Latinas but I didn't know that it was going to be women in the food industry. It just happened that when I started like talking about it and telling people like, yes, I'm going to be a consultant, even though I had no idea what the heck that meant, the people that I was going to were Latina women who were in the food industry. So it kind of happened because that was part of who was my network. And then when like 3 years passed by and I'm like, when I came up to breathe, I'm like, oh, all my clients are Latina women in the food industry. And so that was something that I really enjoyed because, of course, we love comida. And it's food in the Latino culture is so important to us. And there's so much emotion and so much pride tied into it. But because there's so much emotion and so much pride that I see a lot of Latina women that they don't charge what they're supposed to, that they don't understand all of the costs behind it. They're amazing at making their product, but they don't understand the finance side. And so I was really able to come in and help them through that financial lens and through my financial expertise. And so it happened. But it pushed me once again to really like specialize and then take courses that were specific to the food industry. And now that's the majority of my clients are Latina women in the food industry, which I'm around the best people.
The niche is where the riches are, right? And I think that's interesting when you're starting a business or consulting or whatever it is that you're doing, you think you know your audience, and that's why you do it, because you do know your audience, and then it does start to gravitate because hey, they recommend you to somebody else and so forth. And I think that's beautiful. You get that opportunity to really make money off of that too.
Yeah. And then you start seeing and dealing with the same issues over and over. So then that's where you can really come in and help people out because you've seen it and you're more effective at dealing with those issues. And then also the resources that you're providing, like that just starts growing in terms of what you know and what you start to specialize in. And so it really does help to focus and to narrow in into an industry.
So this week we were at Latinas Shaping the Future event that Viridiana and Ashley put together. And Ashley is somebody that you guys will hear all about also in another interview. One of the things that really stuck out when somebody asked the panelists a question, why, and I'll sum it up, why is it so hard for us to ask for funding? for money? Is it a lack of access? Is it that we don't know that there's so much money out there that we can get? Are we afraid? I mean, I know it's a loaded question, VD, but like, why is it so hard, and how do you help the people, the women that you work with, overcome that?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, and it is a loaded question, right? And there's so many dimensions that we can go into. Like, one part is that sometimes we feel like we should be able to do it on our own. And lo queremos hacer. Like, I work with women that they're like, no quiero pedir, right? Like, I know that I have family and friends that I can ask for, but I want to do it on my own. And so we want to take all of this on. And sometimes I'm like, it's okay. It's okay for us to ask for help. Like, it's okay for us to leverage the resources that are around us. And so I think that's part of it, that we want to do it on our own. I think that other times we just don't know, right? We just don't know what we don't know. So we don't know that there are other options besides banks. And a lot of times people are rejected, a lot of women. And I think that for Latina business owners, I think we're, you know, rejected from banks like at a higher rate than other folks. And so I think that could also be really, you know, like soul crushing, that sometimes we think we don't, you know, we can't access that. I think that also a lot of times we don't have social security numbers, right? I work with a lot of immigrants who are I-10 holders. And so they don't know that there actually is funding available for these small businesses. And I think that it's also such an overwhelming process that we don't even know where to start. And sometimes we don't even have like our books together. So this process of asking for a loan seems so daunting. And then the way that I help my clients out, and this is, I think, one of my favorite parts of what I do, that I've been able to help my clients secure millions of dollars in funding so that they can either like start up their catering business or their restaurants or just different size of businesses, is that we start out with like the basics, with them really understanding their numbers, setting up a good financial management system and habits and processes, and then building financial projections so that they start understanding just different levers and factors in their businesses, and really starting to plan out. And I see a lot of times that when you're starting a business, that you're so focused on the day-to-day or on the week-to-week that you can't even like fathom thinking about a whole year out or 2 years out or 3 years out. And so I've had a lot of people, when we're working on the projections, that they're like, this is the first time I've ever allowed myself to dream. And that not only am I dreaming, but I'm planning. And so that's such a helpful part, I think, of this process, is that we're dreaming, but then we're taking those action steps to prepare for that. So I help them out with the preparation and planning, and then also helping them with the loan process and really finding them a good lender. And I want to say, for all of you listening out there, banks are not the only option. There's micro lenders, CDFIs, that are such a great option for small businesses.
I love that. You're talking about action plan and yes, educating other people, other ways to invest. I've been an angel investor. There's so many ways that it's so important to be able to support startup businesses or just businesses that are crucial to, you know, our environment. So I love that. Is there... I feel like we could talk about this forever because you have so many different insights on your clients, but is there because you're talking about financial planning and looking about, you know, a few years ahead, is there a roadblock that you might see that's common amongst your clients, besides maybe the confidence side, but is there something that you see as a roadblock, and how do you advise them on moving past that?
Yeah, I think a huge roadblock is specifically to my clients and I'm going to say in other businesses as well, is that they're so good at making an amazing food product, for example, and they know that part, the kitchen side, so well. But when it comes to like the costing and the pricing, that's a major roadblock. And in the food industry, the profit margins are so small that it's crucial that we understand, how much does it cost me to make that tamal, right? And how much will I price it? And so a lot of times people, what they'll do is that they will make their product and it's increíble, right? But they price it based on competition. And a lot of times we think in terms of pricing that we have to have the cheapest price or the most accessible because that's how people are going to purchase. And that's when I see people, you know, really suffering and not making enough profit because you don't know if the other business is making money or not. You don't know if they're working maybe with amazing vendors and they have really good, you know, really good costs for their ingredients. And so that's, I think, a major roadblock. And then tied to the pricing part that a lot of times, especially Latina women, we're afraid to charge more or to be that premium option. And then we don't give ourselves enough profit margin. And then that has a whole ripple effect on our business.
Yes. If I may, Vera, I think Vera and I have talked about this so much where you love what you do and then you get that number, you know, if someone's offering you, you know, after you already show them what your price point is and what the bid should look like. And then they come back with like, oh, we're only prepared for a quarter of that. And you have to ask yourself the question, is it worth it? Is it not? Because then I've had that happen in past projects where I'm like, oh, I should have asked for more because now I'm hating what I'm doing, even though I love what I normally do. And it's usually the most difficult clients that will come in, lowball you. But I think that's been so transformative for me. Now I look at it more and more where the more I say no to those clients, I say yes to the ones that do value me, that see the value, and I continue working with them again. So thank you for saying that. Is there one last thing we usually like to ask, like, is there, you know, books that you like to read or find ways to stay inspired to make the right money moves for you that you do now besides our podcast, let's hope.
I was going to say, actually, what keeps me really, you know, what keeps me really inspired are like going to community events and learning from other Latinas or other businesses that, you know, that you admire. And so for me, it really is, I love to read, pero no tengo mucho tiempo. So I'm always, you know, on Audible and then, reading different books.
I count that as reading,
through,
girl. I count that as reading.
Yeah. Okay.
It's still educating. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. One book that I really like and that I thought was just like really straightforward and really helpful in terms of business models and organizations was a book that Daniel Lebetsky wrote. And I'm going to look it up right now. I think it was like Kind Business.
All right, we'll put this in the show notes too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a food business where he does the kind bars, but I just thought it was such a straightforward book that just really helped like organize our thoughts and really helped us think through our business model. And so I would say that's such a helpful book. And then there's other books that I've put on my list que no los he leído, but I was like, there's several Latina women right now that are money experts that have books that recently came out. I saw, you know, Janice has one that, you know, just came out, and I have that on my list, The Financially Lit. Entonces, I would say también besides books, I think podcasts and then also finding community events.
Yeah.
Just really keeps me inspired and motivated to keep going.
I mean, that's really how we met. You know, it was a community event. You guys like were like, where are my Latinas at in Portland? And so there you go. And I also really, it's funny because Instagram, social media, we all have like a tormented relationship with it sometimes. Like you don't want to spend too much time, but you need it. However, one thing I do love about Instagram and most of them out there is that you'll see all of the mutual connections. And I absolutely love that we all somehow have always been in our circle, but it's only a matter of time before you actually meet, whether it's virtually or in person. But the fact is there is a really dominant online Latina community that you should be a part of, because eventually you will meet and you can reach out and say, I need help. I don't know what to do. And I think that's the beauty of staying in touch with each other and knowing that, you know, we're all there. Even the ones that supposedly we've already made it, we now have other problems that we need to deal with, right? So thank you for sharing that, Viridiana, and I really appreciate it.
Yes, and how can people connect with you?
Yeah, so talking about social media, that's a really great way. So by going to on my Instagram, you can find me at VP Consulting SF, or on LinkedIn, you can find me under, I think my handle is Ponce Viri. Muchas gracias, amigas.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.